gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What was the position of this woman? She simply didn't know. But he goes on ahead to speak here of this woman's peril. For he says to her, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of me, and he would have given thee living water. In other words, he would have given thee eternal life. That is her peril pointed out. She was in great need. She was in great need. And to cap it all, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to her there, when the Lord Jesus said to her, in verse 16, go and call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. Now her life's staring her in the face. It's been revealed, all been revealed. And he whom thou now hast is not thine husband, in that thou saidst truly. But here's the testimony of this woman as she went back to witness to her own city. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Why I've entitled this point, Intrusive Revealing, is this. That while we sought to bring to your attention that Jesus Christ reveals to men and women how they are, I want you to notice this. That no matter how hard men and women try to hide their sin from God, it will be revealed. It will be revealed. Here's a woman that says, he told me all things that ever I knew. Now, if your life and mine, if all the details were to be put up on the wall there, we wouldn't like it. We wouldn't like it. But you know, one day men and women are going to stand before the Lord, all of us. And every detail. As we read earlier, as we read in God's word, even every idle word. And that's a startling thought. They're all going to be revealed. Over there in Ecclesiastes 3, here's what it says, and you needn't turn to it. Verse 14, and I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Now that's clear enough. Man can shake his fist in the face of God all he wants, but he's no match for God. He's no match for God. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth. He requireth. The word requireth there simply means that a man is to make something good or be punished for it in the past. Because it says there, requireth that which is past. The word past means to have pushed something away. To have pushed something away. And as you think, men and women, of all the opportunities that God in his mercy has given to you, could it be said of you that you pushed them away? You pushed away conviction when it come. You pushed away that wee word that some Christian person, perhaps in fear and trembling, tried to speak to you. You pushed away the message of the preacher when he told you you were a sinner and you needed to be saved on the authority of the word, of course. And you pushed away every opportunity that has come your way. Well, this verse says, God requireth that which is past. The word requireth, as I said again, simply means that a man who has not made a thing right will be punished for it. That's what it means. If you haven't made it right, remember this unsaved person. God requireth that which is past or has been pushed away or driven away. And the thing about this point, intrusive revealing, is this. He reveals it whether he's invited to or not. Whether he's invited to or not. We know that many, as we read in the scriptures, they will say in the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And of all these kinds of arguments. And the thought there is this, that men and women are hoping that God will not reveal all of those hidden things. And there's a hidden root there, and it's called sin. And the one sin will be enough to damn a man or a woman. It's inclusive revealing, this revealing by Jesus Christ. It's intrusive revealing. But can I also say that it is exclusive revealing. Would you look, please, in 1 Corinthians in your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth here. It says there in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise to God. You see, if a man tells you anything less, if a man tells you that God's salvation consists of anything less than you repenting and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sin and receiving him as your own and personal Savior. If a man tells you that anything less is sufficient, then he's an enemy of the cross, and more than that, he's an enemy of your soul, for he doesn't see your heart as it is. God reveals that man's purpose is sin. It says there, look at the words, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. The word counsels there simply means the purpose or the will of men's hearts. And the purpose of the will, or the will of men's hearts. Now we're getting into deeper stuff here, where you see that when it was right down to the very thoughts of man's heart and his will, God will reveal all of that. That word will is a counsels is a very strong word that refers, as I said, to purpose or will. It is the same word that is found in the book of Acts regarding Jesus Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And that is a very strong word. There's nothing could prevent Calvary. And Jesus Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And the thought here is, the deep, dark secrets and the deep will and purpose of man's sinful heart, it's all going to be made manifest. For look what it says, who will bring to light. Why do I say that this is exclusive revealing? Well, only these are things that only the Lord can reveal. You see, man's will is set against all that is of God. Remember the rich young ruler, and there were many actions in his life and things that, on an ordinary human level, they were worthy of recognition. But it turned out that still his heart was far away from God. Why? Because his will was sinful. And his purpose was sinful. And folks, that will needs to be renewed. In theological terms, we talk of what is called effectual calling. There is the ordinary common call of the gospel. That is when the gospel is preached to all who will come and listen. And we're glad you've come. But there is that effectual calling when God, the Holy Spirit, works with men. Here's a wee question in our shorter catechism. Question 31. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching and he confronted those who stood around the cross who put the Lord Jesus Christ to death? He confronted them with their sin. It says in verse 37 of Acts 2, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convinced of their sin and misery, and now their minds were enlightened in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it also says in that answer, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. When Paul was writing in Acts 20, when we find it in Acts 26 and verse 18, concerning God's man going forth with the word, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. You see, your will needs to be renewed. Your will needs to be renewed. And if you're unconcerned at the moment, be concerned. Be very concerned. Because this revealing that we're looking at now is something that only God can do. But rest assured, God will surely do it. He will surely reveal in a way that no other man can. And he will reveal right all those things that are hidden down in the counsels of man's heart. The purposes that was against God. The will that was set against God by nature. And all of these things, men in their sin will have to answer for. It says there, who both will bring. The thought there is of God's great power that is undefeatable. It's unlimited. There's nowhere to hide. I tell you, if men and women die without the Lord Jesus Christ, they will do anything to avoid this exclusive revealing. The revealer of secrets. Oh, it's inclusive revealing. It's intrusive revealing. It's exclusive revealing. But I've one final thought here. This revealing is conclusive revealing. That's the final word that we have on it over there in the book of Romans, chapter 2. Says there in verse 11 of that great chapter, very important, about God's impartial judgment. Says there in verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God, religious or otherwise. It doesn't matter before the Lord. And you can read the verses in between yourself, but look what it says in verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Again, in Acts 17 and 37, it says, God hath appointed a day. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. That is Jesus Christ. Folks, that day is approaching. It is approaching when this revealing will take place. The beam of eternal light will shine into man's sinful heart and search it out. And that will be the end of the matter, because after that, there will be no more opportunity. All the opportunities will be gone. All the messages will be gone. All the preaching will be away forever. Over there in Ecclesiastes, I want to read what it says there in verse 14 of chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the verse 14. It says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, some people do honestly believe that they have somehow or other got away with how they have lived, and they've escaped the judicial system. But the Bible does not show us anything of that, because it says there that God shall bring every work into judgment, whether and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's no getting around it. And this is a final revealing, a final judgment. And I want to say this morning that for the Christian, all of this is a solemn message. We would want to be living in a way that would please the Lord. But for you unsaved person, this is a very urgent message. Jesus Christ is the revealer of secrets. It's inclusive. You not get away. It's intrusive. It doesn't matter. We invite him or not. It's exclusive. This is God revealing. Not man's theories and thoughts on how it is with you. But it's conclusive revealing. There's no argument against it. It stands. It stands for all eternity. And I want to ask you, how will you do when all secrets are revealed? I want to ask you the question, how is it now with you? If God were to come and look into your heart, as I know he is doing, could it be said concerning you that notwithstanding your daily failure, you're a man or woman who's washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's well with your soul. And God is well pleased with you because of that, because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you. Or would God have to say, here's a man or woman and they're still under condemnation. And one day all of those secrets, they're all going to be wide open before the Lord and revealed. And man will be judged accordingly. These are solemn things, men and women. But for you today, this is still the day of grace. And I trust if you do not know the Lord, that we've said enough this morning to have you understand there's no secrets hidden from the Lord. There's nothing hidden, as we read earlier on, that shall not be revealed. And man will be dealt with according to what God finds. Trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart, and he will help you this morning to call upon him while he's passing this way. I'd like the congregation to turn again, please, to Genesis chapter 41. And with our Bibles before us, we're going to look to the Lord just for a moment or two in prayer, trusting that what we say might be helpful today, and that God's word would have free course and be glorified even here in Abilene. Lord, we do thank thee for all who've come today. We thank thee for health and strength given. And Lord, we thank thee for what we have been singing. We thank thee, Lord, for the lamb that was slain. And we thank thee too, Lord, that we have been singing just now, that he cometh again. And Lord, we do recognize that he's given to us, thy people, a stewardship. And Father, we pray that we might ever live knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ will return one day. And Father, we pray that as we seek to live for Thee and labour for Thee, that we might always use this in a great degree as our motivation and incentive, and indeed as an encouragement to be at our best for the Lord. And Father, we look again now at Joseph. We thank Thee for what the Bible records about this man. And Father, we pray that what we say might be owned of the Lord and blessed and backed home by the power of God the Holy Spirit. For we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, I'm not going to do this, but I wonder if I come around every adult here in the congregation and I said, have you got a secret? I wonder, would you tell me that secret? Well, you probably would say, well, or you possibly may say, well, I do have a secret, Reverend Salt, but I've no intention of telling you. That is why it is a secret. A secret is something, as the dictionary defines it, that is kept from the knowledge of others. And all through the history of mankind, there have been many secrets. There are people, and they take to the grave with them very dark secrets. Secrets regarding awful, notorious acts that were committed against their fellow men. There are, of course, secret hate campaigns. Throughout the world, you will sometimes see something come to the surface, and then you realize that for a long time, there has been a hate campaign going on. And then when it eventually come to fruition, and everybody saw it for what it was, much damage had been done. Of course, we can say on the other hand that there are secret loves, love affairs that can last for many years and go undetected. Well, secrets are something that other people generally know nothing about. And as you look at what I've taken for my text this morning, that is verse 45 in the beginning of it, it says, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Zaphnath-Paaneah. He's given a new name. Now, there are several meanings attached to that name. And one of the lines of thought regarding that new name is the food of the living. And Joseph, as you will remember, is a type of Christ. He typifies Jesus Christ probably in more ways than any other person in the Bible. Very many of his experiences, you could draw a parallel between that and the life of Jesus Christ, who is the great antitype. One of the lines of thought regarding his name is that it means something to the effect of food for the living. Now, we know that he did provide food for Egypt. It was his words that led to the storing up of those things that were needed, and we will see on another occasion how he was able to supply food to keep his own family and his own people in his homeland alive as well. But there is another meaning that is attached to his name. And that meaning is, to this new name that is, the meaning is revealer of secrets. A revealer of secrets. He had shown himself as God's instrument to disclose the secrets that were locked up in the minds of the baker and the butler, and also here in the mind of King Pharaoh. Now, I know that many people would run to different kinds of people who would claim to be revealer of secrets, but I think that they're wasting their time and wasting their money. But Joseph here was a man who was instructed by the Lord, and as a revealer of secrets, that's what he was. The butler was glad for that, the beggar thought he was, until he heard what the revealer, what the dream really meant, that he was going to die. Pharaoh was very glad for that fact. But Joseph, in this way, being a revealer of secrets, he typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, in a way that no other man can do, brings to light things that are secret. But I want briefly this morning to consider with you a new name, because that is the title of my message, and that is what Joseph had here. Zaphnath-Paaneah. And when you think of him, I want us to look at this situation and lift it into the higher realm and think of Jesus as the revealer of secrets, the one whom Joseph so ably typifies. And when I think of Jesus as the revealer of secrets, the first thing I want to say is this, that the revealing that Jesus Christ brings, it is inclusive revealing. Inclusive revealing. Maybe you would look in your Bible, please, in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. This passage in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, the Lord here has been presenting the parable of the sower. In verse 5, a sower went out to sow. You'll see there that some seed fell by the wayside, and then you have the interpretation really of the parable, the earthly meaning, on down through the verses there. Now it's important to remember this. It says in verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So we're looking at four different areas or ways in which the word of God has fallen. I just want to read verse 14. It says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. The thought there is of someone who is listening to the word of God with a worldly spirit. You have an emotional hearer on back up the verses and the careless hearer as we mentioned. But in verse 15 you have the wise hearer. It says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I have sought as best I can in a very few words to refresh your memory of what that passage is about. But I want you to notice that in the context here, in the context the Lord says in verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And folks, those words in verse 17 ought to be, and thinking of those words, it ought to be a staggering thought, both to the Christian and to the unconverted person, that there is nothing that is secret that shall not be made manifest. In other words, the revealing that comes with Jesus Christ, his revealing, and of course it's referring to man's experience and how at times he reveals things, but especially in that last day, when everything will be exposed for what it is. We can say here to the Christian that the gospel of grace and all its benefits to man for time and for eternity are not to be kept secret. Because remember what we're looking at here. We're looking at the presenting of the word of God. And we can't get away from this thought. Yes, the lessons of many of the philosophers in those days were for a favored few. They kept them to themselves, and we know that many of them were puffed up and they were full of themselves. But the message of the grace of God and all the benefits of God's salvation, that is to be proclaimed. It is to be published and to be made known to as many people as possible. I want to read something over there in Mark's Gospel chapter 13. Remember, this is just a thought for the Christian here when we're passing through this. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, and it's the verse 10. It says there, sorry, in the wrong place, in chapter 14, chapter 13, as I said, in verse 10, it says, and the gospel must first be published among all the nations. The word published there in verse 10 of Mark's Gospel chapter 13 means to cry in the way that a herald would. And the reference here is to publishing and proclaiming and making known to men and women the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever heard a herald or not, but one day we were in New York around one of the wee back streets, and this man all dressed up in this old time clothes, he stopped and he, I can't remember exactly how you said, but it was something to the fact of, ho ye, ho ye. And that's the way he started, and that was for everybody to stop and to listen to him. And then he began to proclaim. He was known as a herald. And that is what the thought here is in this verse. The Christian is a herald, heralding forth the message of the gospel to as many people as you possibly can. Again, in the book of Acts, in chapter 13, we see that some did just that. They heralded forth the message to as many as they could. Acts chapter 13 says there in verse 49, "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." And the word "published" there also carries the meaning of carrying through or bearing. So you go out as a herald for Jesus Christ and you bear the message of the gospel and you carry that message through. You keep on bearing it in a faithful way. It's important for us Christians to remember that. That in the parable here of the sower, one of the important things was that the message was not to be hid. You can read the verses for yourself. But I want to speak here, when I think of this inclusive revealing, could I say that for the Christian, you and I are rewarded according to our labour for the Lord. And it's important that there is this revealing of Jesus Christ in preaching the word. But can I speak just briefly to the unconverted regarding this inclusive revealing? This revealing that compasses everything and everyone. And every secret, if you look in Luke's Gospel there, again I read it, it's in chapter 8. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest." And then it says in verse 18, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." And of course that ties in perfectly with the parable of the sower, the four different kinds of hearer. Where it says there, "For whosoever hath," don't be fooled by that and think that it means your property or something. It simply means whosoever hath and maketh good use of what he has. In other words, you who have heard the message of the gospel and made good use of it. That is, you've appropriated the claims of Jesus Christ, the message of repentance and the need of the new birth, that you've appropriated that to your own heart and life. Then you're the one who hath, as it says there. But it also says down there, "And whosoever hath not," that there is a reference to one who has made no use or bad use of that which they have received. And of course, the warning there of the Lord Jesus Christ is, "Take heed therefore how you hear, unsafe person. Don't you be labelled among those of whom it is said that they made no use of what they received. They discarded it. They marginalized it at best. But rather be among those of whom it can be said, 'For whosoever hath, to him shall be given.' You received the word of God and you've made good use of it." And if you want to do that this morning, unconverted person, you have to listen to God's word with the teachable spirit, because it shows you yourself. It shows you your sin. It shows you your need, and it shows you Jesus Christ, who's typified by Joseph. Jesus, who is the only remedy for your sin. Please do listen with a teachable spirit, but listen with humility. Very often we think, "Well, Lord, we do not have any merit to make any claim to salvation of ourselves." And that is true, but do you know something? Of ourselves, we do not even have the merit enough merit to hear one message. So therefore listen with humility. It's a mercy from God that unconverted people hear the gospel. And I want to say something else here. Not only listen with the teachable spirit, listen with humility, but listen as though you will never ever hear it again. As though you will never ever hear the message of saving grace again. Because one day all will be revealed. Your opportunities will be revealed. And as we've read there before, it said, "There is nothing secret that shall not be made manifest." That is a startling thought. Inclusive revealing. And that is a revealing that Jesus Christ brings. But not only is this revealing by Jesus Christ, inclusive revealing, I want to go a wee bit further and say it is also intrusive revealing. Turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. It's intrusive revealing. We want to say here when we look in this passage that this revealing intrudes where the preacher cannot go. I look upon you this morning and I cannot look in your heart. And for some people it is right to say that we hardly know where they stand. But I want you to understand this, that the revealing of Jesus Christ goes where no preacher can go. And more than that, the revealing of Jesus Christ will take place even though men try, by whatever means, to keep him away. Therefore, be aware, unsaved person. If you feel that you, in your own heart, can have some kind of veneer in your life that will trick the preacher, well, that wouldn't be hard to do. Some people say to me, you believe people far too easily. And so I do, always have. Tended to take people at their word, and many a time that was a mistake. But you know what it says there over in Proverbs? Well, we'll read it. I'll read it for you. Proverbs 28 and the verse 13. It says there, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And of course, that is a reference to the person who seeks to be something that they are not. And that is in the nature of man, right from Adam's fall in the garden. Do you remember when Adam fell in Eden? And the voice of an offended God summoned him from his hiding place. And God came along and he called out, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou, Adam? And men and women, that is a chilling word this morning if you're not converted. Because God calls out to you today. And you may think, well, this has been intrusive. Well, this is intrusive revealing. God calls out to you, where art thou? You can think of a situation in a courtroom where someone has had a guilty secret, something that has perhaps harmed other people or caused some kind of great trouble. And the defense is there, and the accused is there. And then it comes the time when the judge asks the prosecution to present their case, and the prosecution possibly will go over some old ground, but then they begin to reveal those things that were not expected to be heard, but that are undeniable facts. Undeniable facts just the same. And they present them in such a way that the person who is accused and his defense, they're taken apart. And they've nowhere to turn. And there's nowhere to hide now. And the jury, as they look on, they are saying, well, here are undeniable facts. This man is guilty. He's had this secret for years, and now these facts that have been presented, will they tell it all? Oh, it's intrusive revealing in the courtroom on a human level. But you know how much worse it is for the unconverted person when the Lord Jesus Christ reveals those things and reveals that sin that so many people are so good at hiding. The great example of that is found in John's Gospel, chapter 4. You can turn there if you wish. You're all very familiar with the situation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman at the well in Samaria. And as he talked with her, we see her position here. If you look in verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. You see, she did not know.